And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. Of justice, because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, on this fourth Sunday after Easter, the church gives us a selection from our Lord's very profound, inspiring sermon to his apostles at the Last Supper, and this is recorded in St. John the Evangelist in his gospel. Interestingly, St. John does not give us an account of the institution of the Holy Eucharist. We depend on the other evangelists to tell us about that. And because it was already told there, maybe that's why St. John did not include it. But St. John includes this very, it stretches about three chapters long, this homily of our Lord to his apostles at the Last Supper. So, even though we're celebrating Easter, we still have this, as I said, this extract from Holy Thursday. And our Lord is reminding the apostles that the world is in league with the devil. And my dear brethren, we should never forget that we have enemies that are after us. We were reading in the book of Job, which we are currently studying in Tuesday night doctrine classes. We read one of the very incisive quotes from Job, in which he says, "The life of man on earth is a warfare." And we know the story of Job, how he had to deal with unimaginable suffering. And he was also alluding to the fact that we can't escape temptation, that there are enemies that literally want to kill us spiritually. And if we're not aware of that, we are going to get killed. And we know very well who our three main enemies are: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Interestingly, of all three enemies, our greatest enemy is our own fallen human nature. In other words, we can't blame everything on the devil. We can't blame everything else on the devil or on the world. We are our own worst enemy spiritually. The devil's power is chained. St. Augustine says the devil is like a rabid dog on a leash. God only allows him to do some harm. He can scare you. He can, he'll bite you. He'll maul you if you get too close. But the point I wanted to make today is we should not forget that the world is also one of the enemies of our soul. And listen to these words of our Lord. When the Holy Ghost will come, he will convict the world. You see there, our Lord is not saying our Lord's not talking about physical creation or physical people or physical buildings. He's talking about the spirit of the world. That is the enemy of God. And when the Holy Ghost comes, he will convict the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. These are pretty ominous words. He said he's going to convict the world of sin because they do not believe in me. And that conviction is just as true today as it was back then. Think of how many refuse to believe in Jesus Christ and submit themselves and give themselves entirely to our Lord. Yes, the world stands convicted of its rejection of our Lord. Our Lord also says of justice, and it seems to be more mysterious what he says there, because he says, I go to the Father and you will see me no more. And then he will convict the world of judgment, because the prince of this world has already been judged. So who is the prince of the world? You guessed it, it's Satan. He uses the world to help him fight his battle for the destruction of souls. Here's the catch, though. As laity, you have to live in the world, but be not of the world. But you are at great risk of becoming of the world because you're living in it. So it takes real effort, real awareness of where the spirit of the world is making inroads in us. I like to give an analogy. This Wednesday, May 18th, marks an anniversary. Some of you do remember that we're alive at that time, but on May 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. And we knew about that in Spokane quite dramatically, because when all that ash was billowing out of Mount, by the way, a third of the mountain, I believe, got blown away through the explosion. I mean, they estimated in terms of how many nuclear bombs exploded. And I remember the day very well. I was a seminarian here at the Mount, and I noticed when we were out on the ball field playing softball, this darkness coming over from the west side of the state. I didn't know at first what it was. Then I heard Mount St. Helens exploded. Well, we kept on playing softball. But I remember by 4 o'clock that afternoon, it was pitch black, because all that ash went right into the jet stream, and we were in the direct path. Ritzville received the biggest dump of ash, but Spokane got hit almost as hard. And I remember we were told, when you go outside, put your hand above your eyes so that the ash, the volcanic ash, doesn't get into your eyes. And nobody knew how long this was going to keep going. As a matter of fact, I even sensed that terror, that what if this keeps on going? We'll never get out alive. Fortunately, after 3 or 4 days, the jet stream changed, and also the amount of ash spewing out of the mountain began to subside. But you remember, it was like snow on the ground, that white volcanic ash. And it stayed there for a long time. So nobody could escape the ash. If you went outside, you were going to get ash on you. You had to be aware of it. You had to make extra effort to brush it off. So that was, by the way, 42 years ago. So sounds like a long time to you younger ones, I know. So St. Louis uses that idea when he says the spirit of the world is like dust coming upon us, and even religious souls can be affected by it. So we have to recognize, again, that it's not the physical world that God created, or people themselves, but it's that spirit of the world that is so dangerous to our souls. And the tendency will be, if we see it done around us, we end up doing it too. That's where that ash, that dust of the world, begins to harm you greatly. And the world is completely fine with sin. As a matter of fact, sin is being normalized in the world today. And whoever doesn't go along with that normalizing is considered to be the person in the wrong. This is why we should be not surprised for being persecuted, for upholding the gospel, for upholding moral values. We have to avoid the occasions of sin, which the world thinks is perfectly fine. The world is perfectly fine with immodesty. The world is perfectly fine with the temptations that come through various things that happen. Again, this is the world seeking to destroy our souls. And the prince of this world is using the world to help drag us down into sin. Some areas of concern. And by the way, I came across a sermon of St. Alphonsus Liguori, and interestingly, it's on avoiding occasions of sin, and he puts it on the very first Sunday after Easter. And he ties it in with the gospel of today. I'm not going to do that exactly, but let's listen to these words of St. Alphonsus Liguori and then get into areas where we have to exercise that extra care. In consequence of original sin, we all have an inclination to do what is forbidden. Now, when a dangerous occasion is present, it violently excites our corrupt desires, so that it is then very difficult to resist them, because God withholds efficacious helps from those who voluntarily expose themselves to the occasion of sin. So if we put ourselves deliberately in great danger of sinning, God is saying, you're on your own. I'm withdrawing my grace because you have deliberately put yourself in that grave danger. He that loveth danger shall perish in it. Ecclesiasticus chapter 3, verse 27. When, says St. Thomas in his comment on this passage, we expose ourselves to danger, God abandons us in it. St. Bernardine of Siena teaches that the counsel of avoiding the occasions of sin is the best of all counsel, and as it were, the very foundation of religion. St. Peter says, the devil goeth about seeking whom he may devour. He is constantly going about our souls, endeavoring to enter and take possession of them. Hence he seeks to place before us the occasions of sin by which he enters the soul. St. Alphonsus goes on to say that one of the main reasons Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit is because they didn't get out of the occasion of sin. They were standing too close to the tree, and the scripture even says Eve looked at the apple, found it fair to behold. So that's where the downfall was happening, by not removing herself, and we can see, assume this of Adam too, that they did not remove themselves from the occasion of sin. Now listen to this. This is what ordinarily happens to all who expose themselves to the occasion of sin. Hence, being once compelled by exorcisms to tell the sermon which displeased him most, the devil said that it was the sermon on avoiding the occasions of sin. So, according to St. Alphonsus and what the devil revealed in this exorcism, this is the sermon that he hates the most. When we are reminded we must avoid the occasions of sin. As long as we expose ourselves to the occasion of sin, reading here from St. Alphonsus, the devil laughs at all our good purposes and promises made to God. So, that's what the devil does when he sees us putting ourselves, I'm not talking about slight danger, but serious danger. The devil laughs at us. What are some areas in which we have to avoid these occasions of sin? You know them well. The internet, movies and TV, obviously not all of it, but so much of it. And this is why, and I'm reminded of what Bishop Pivrunis has told us, priests, we can't speak enough about the danger of these things, especially when it comes to the children.
their access to the internet has to be guarded, has to be watched. It's the same reason we don't let them play with loaded guns. Just as we don't want them to be physically killed, neither and even much more do we not want them to be spiritually killed. Courtship before marriage. This is why chaperones are a matter of necessity for young people, so that they can prepare for marriage in a virtuous way and that will guarantee all the more happiness and, of course, holiness in marriage. Occasions of sin can easily come up in this regard. So again, the chaperone having a third party there helps to prevent sin from happening. Places of public entertainment. With the weather getting warmer, we know what happens in places of public swimming, the greatest immodesty. We must avoid these places when those occasions of sin are present. You know, go swimming somewhere off to the side so you don't have to expose yourself to this great danger. In public schools nowadays, the occasions of sin, again, sin is being normalized to little children. It's just shocking to see how much, and this has been going on for a long time, for many years, putting matters of purity before the children as a matter, or I should say impurity before children as normal things to do. So we stand up for holy purity. It's going to be a real battle. It's going to take a real effort. And the world has perverted the procreative power that God has bestowed on man and woman, as we know, can be used rightly only in the holy bonds of marriage. Let us remember that true love never includes sin. And that, yes, it will be a battle, it'll be a real effort. You know, when we put the Easter lilies out on the altar, the servers have to practice beforehand, especially, you know, for putting out the lilies before midnight mass. And the lily is such a beautiful flower representing purity, does it not? But one thing that we tell the servers, be very careful, they bruise very easily. So with the grace of God, we can maintain and grow in this virtue of holy purity that makes us so much more like the angels. Let's avoid those occasions of sin. Use common sense. Things that trigger temptation, get away from them. Stay away from them. That's half the battle right there, if not more. So call upon our Blessed Mother. She, Virgin Most Pure, we call her. Yes, it looks discouraging. You know, us melancholics, those that are melancholics, it's hard to, you know, to think positively when you think of so many dangers. But never forget, we have God on our side. We have Blessed Mother on our side. We have the grace of God. And let us never waver in our confidence in that, in the power of that grace, in the power of our King and our Queen, who will assist us in every way that we need. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.